This is a No Surf Music Burning River Fireside Chat. With guests, the Womack Family Band. I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond. For the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more, point your browser to nosurfmusic.com.
Hey, I love how this scarf right here actually becomes a tablecloth.
Good idea, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Well, you know, I mean, this place is basically a rummage sale waiting to happen, so why not just take advantage?
I know, it's the blue room. We're in the right spot.
Yep.
And I'm going to have town staring at me this whole time, just going to freak me the fuck out.
Right.
But that's okay.
So we can say fuck on here?
You can say whatever you want. That's the beauty of the internet.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Just don't, you know, start off with, you know, hi, my name's Diesel, fuck. which I guess is my intro, because hi, my name is Diesel, and this
that's
is...
That's the point right there.
Is that the point right there? All right. Well, this is another edition of No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chats. And joining me today are all four members of the Womack Family Band. So, welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for
coming
and asking us questions, Diesel.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be here. So, like I said, why don't we just go around first and introduce ourselves so the folks at home know who we are.
All right, folks, I am Corey, and I play the drums, and it's my favorite thing to do, play the drums, and I also like maple syrup, just like Diesel.
Okay.
Perfect.
I am Noah Hyman. I play the guitar. I also play the bass. I play a couple different things on record. Live, you'll mostly see me playing stringed instruments. Sometimes I slip into a quasi-British accent.
Mm-hmm. Quasi being the operative word there.
Yes, yes. It's very quasi-modo, if you will. Quasimodo Perpetuo. But anyway, as far as trees go, I don't really want to talk about that anymore. It's a sensitive subject for me, but thank you for asking.
Okay, I am Haley. I am Noah's little sister. I sing a lot. I play acoustic guitar. I play a little bit of the keyboard and a little bit of mandolin. And my middle name is Margaret after my grandmother.
And you got a little bit of percussion action going there. Come on,
Joe.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I shake a tambourine.
There you go.
And I like it.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn, my friend.
I'm Tony Schaefer. I play instruments in this group. Different ones, varied ones. Guitar, bass, you know, some brass and woodwinds, piano and stuff like that. I like trees of all shapes and sizes. Man, I thought I was going to have something so much more cool to say. I had all this time. Like, I was like one of, you know.
You were the last one. I was expecting
something
great.
Say a good tree. Say a good tree.
Witty quip.
Well, it's going to be a long interview, I'm sure. So, you know, just sit there and think. And then, you know, in the middle of somebody else's answer, just jump in and say, this is what I wanted to say in my intro.
I'll be beating myself up in the meantime.
Okay. Well, I'm sure these guys will jump in and beat you up some, too. So, as I said, these guys are the Womack Family Band, the Womacks for short. And if you didn't notice in that introduction, none of them are named Womack. So, I guess just for the people who might be wondering about that, how did you guys come about the name?
Noah, you say it.
It all started off as a joke. It all started as a joke. Just like Charles Bukowski's post office career. But it stuck, as names often do. The original inspiration came from a feller out of Nashville named Tommy Womack. He's like an Americana artist, singer-songwriter guy. Used to be in a band called Government Cheese. It had some success in the 90s. But, you know, we don't really know him. Tony opened a show for him with Chris Castle, a good pal of ours that we've worked a lot with in the past. And after that, Tony and I played a few gigs with Chris Castle and another guy, Joe Lindstrom, on guitar as the Womack Brothers. It was just a couple gig thing, you know, just for fun. But the name just kind of stuck. We ended up splitting off into our own thing and adding a few members. You know, we got our drummer Corey and added my sis to the mix. And the whole, at that point, we couldn't be the Womack Brothers anymore because we had Haley.
Because I'm a lady.
Right. Glad she is. She is in fact a female
just
and a girl.
You know up.
And girls can't be brothers. It's just not how it works. So we changed it to Womack Family Band. We wanted to have a family band before that. We knew we wanted to be a family band and just have that family feeling. So the name stuck. And in that way, it's a general name that none of us have. So in that sense, we kind of all have that name. You know, so it's not like the Harmon family band, or the Webb family band, or the Schaefer family band, because none of us are the main character. It's more of a democracy here, so, you know, we chose
Womack is
the
a
Womack.
State of mind, man.
Right, and it's everyone can be a Womack.
Or mindlessness, as the case may be.
That's right. You don't have to actually be in the group to be a Womack either, you know, it extends out, it's an extended family, you know, because families are never just four people, so...
Unless everybody else dies in a horrible plane crash
right.
at a family reunion or something.
Right.
Right.
You were the guys
right.
who were late because you were, you know, out back getting stoned somewhere and you
right.
never made it in, you know.
Wait, is my grandma going
to
hear this?
I have no idea. Did your grandma listen to a lot of random music blogs?
She's a big No Surf music fan.
Really? Well, everybody should be.
Right? Strong
I agree.
Anti-marijuana.
Ah, well, that was my sentiments about being late to the party. These guys don't know anything about what
I've
I'm talking about.
I've never even heard of marijuana. What is
it?
Well, we'll get into that later.
Yes.
But as you mentioned, despite the fact that the name is a little bit random, you guys do have some family connections. I mean, obviously you two are related, and
yes.
Tony...
Yep,
is
true.
Soon to be related in
yep.
a sort of...
yep.
He's going to marry
gonna
my
Hyman.
Sister.
He's
yep.
going to change his name.
Yep, he's taking Haley's last name. He's going to be Tony Hyman.
Well, that's sweet.
It's not true.
We're
uh-huh.
lying. He's not.
And
I'm
should
make it.
I'm actually dating Webb's sister. Too,
really?
So the circle is
I'm
closing
sorry.
Up as
sorry.
We speak.
I'm
good with that.
Okay.
I'm a really great boyfriend.
I got you.
He's really
it's
good
not like
boyfriend.
We brought it together.
I,
like,
you know, don't want to know how you know that.
He just said it. You know?
Well, he may have just
that's
said it, but you would get...
Go back and check the tape, or the tape. Check the tape.
Rewind
it's
it for a second.
It's analog.
Okay, so we all know he's a good boyfriend, he's soon to be husband, we all
yeah,
we got
it's
that.
It's really
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
Okay, so... this is fun.
Sorry, Diesel.
No, it's all good. I have no idea
and,
where we're
and
going.
And we do all pretty much live on top of one another.
We
yes,
yeah,
and you all essentially grew up together and have no. been, you know, hanging out and playing... for quite a long time, which brings me to my next point, I guess, because I know several of you, way back in the Dark Ages, started out as a metal band.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it was
we
the
go.
Dark Ages.
So, well, you know, maybe the Dark Ages are still going on, but who knows.
It's debatable.
So, yeah, so we're going to get into a little bit more of describing your current style, but I can't imagine anything less metal than your current style. I mean, I literally can't. I mean, I guess Celine Dion is less metal, but that's not
a
even music, so I don't count that. But how did you guys go from one extreme to the other? I mean, what brought you from the whole metal world into roots music?
Well, I think all four of us did listen to metal. I mean, we all listened to various types of metal, you know, from like Slayer to Tool to like, you know, Paramore and things like that. But I think it was the Beatles, right? I mean, that's what turns anybody on, you know? I mean, there's a lot of people who aren't fans of the Beatles. Some people don't even know who they are in this day and age. But that's what shifted the gears for us, you know? I mean, they were just allowed to do whatever they wanted after a certain point. I mean, come help. You know, after they were introduced to Bob Dylan and other various mind-altering substances, the music they made from
Bob
that
Dylan
point,
is a mind-altering substance.
He is. Yeah, man, you know. I mean, who do you say?
Hey,
how's it going,
Patrick?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. Hanging out. And Luca. These
think,
are friends of ours.
I think it's
they're
just love of music,
hi, friends.
Yeah.
I think it's the love of music that,
yeah.
that, like, basically brought us together. But then, after we stopped playing metal, it was just we wanted to explore. You know, because that's all it was in the metal. You know, like, we were just trying to express ourselves. I mean, I was painted head to toe with, like a skeleton face and such, like, in biker shorts, like, singing...
Sort of like you're dressed right now,
yes,
actually.
Yes,
I mean,
singing for a
prog metal
band. This
and
is
then
an audio
was,
interview. They
actually,
can't see you.
I was actually more
oh, yeah.
scared of,
oh, sure.
of Tony because mm-hmm. he was, you know, he was very metal. But it was just, we just loved it. And it just kind of, you just kind of gradually go through the progressions of finding new stuff together. Like now we like jazz, you know, and we kind of all stumbled upon that together. And
I think your tastes change as you get older too sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least mine did. You know, like when I was younger, I was all about rocking out and headbanging and stuff. And then I kind of just...
A little bit of mellow.
I mean, I still am.
You still am
sometimes.
Still all about that.
And I am. But, I don't know, tastes just change as you find new things and come...
And we were less angry, you know? I mean, when you're in the metal, you gotta be pissed. I mean, if you're not pissed
anymore.
When you're playing metal, it just sounds fake, you know? You can't be in a happy metal band, you know? So
you gotta pay your own dues, I think.
Yep. Punk or metal. You know, most musicians, I think, have a background in this day and age, something like that, unless you have formal education. I know a lot of guys who started off in that heavier, faster, it's gotta be rocking out, thrashing, you know?
It's a very accessible music, you know? You can learn some power chords, throw some distortion on your guitar.
You build dexterity.
Right, and it is a good way to build up dexterity and things like that, because there's so much, like, speed picking and all that kind of stuff going on. So, you gotta pay your metal dues. You gotta pay dues to the gods of metal. You gotta make sacrifices at their altar every now and then.
I mean, like our favorite band is AC/DC. We just don't tell anybody that. That's the truth.
Until now,
we do love them.
We told we
now,
said
now,
so.
Now
we
it's
told
out
somebody
from
last
the
week.
World.
We were like, "Hey, we like AC/DC," and they're like, "What?"
I'm
like, shh, don't tell anyone. Don't.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, a lot of people who are musical artists have a very divergent set of tastes. And, you know, I mean, I like more than just the music that we cover, but we cover a specific set of music, and, you know, maybe I like that particular music more than others, which is why we may cover it, or maybe it's just completely undercovered, any of you Pace magazine people who may be listening or anything like that, get your act together, real music is out there. Anyway, but, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know... You can't sort of focus in one area, and most bands really have to find their niche. So, I guess my next question then is, you guys sort of, I mean, obviously, like I said, you're completely on the opposite end from metal, but you're still a very eclectic band as far as your influences go. I mean, you've got rock influences, you've got folk influences, you've got blues influences, you've got jazz influences. How do you guys describe the type of music that you play?
Americana is a great word. Because since it has the word America in it, you think melting pot. This is a place where all the cultures and creeds have come together and kind of just blended together slowly into one thing. It's the great experiment. And really, if you think about it, jazz, country, those are some of the truest American art forms that really were born in America. So they really go hand in hand. They're not far from each other really at all on the musical genome level. They're very similar. And rock and blues all were born out of those things. So, really, it's all... they all have a common ancestor.
Americana. I agree. Right. I think that's a good...
Yeah, just
good
American,
group.
You know? Just like a bunch
American
of...
American music.
You know, and that's not to say... I mean, most Americana groups these days, I mean, you gotta have, you know, mandolins and banjos and suspenders and then all that sort of thing. And that's cool. That's one facet of American music. But I feel like, you know... The twangy country and even jazzier side of that is sort of underrepresented in that whole genre, and I think it's still a good word. I don't, you know, we've thought about coming up with different twists. You know, is it Midwest Americana? Is it Rust Belt Americana? I think it's just Americana. It just is what it is. This country is so huge. You know, the states and it can vary from place to place. So many different cultures.
How about we just call it gumbo?
Gumbo.
Okay.
It's gumbo, man. It's like a it's like a mixture of. And even, like, within the song, like, it's a mixture between all four of us, and somehow we figure out how to piece it together. Whatever's best for the song is what we usually do.
I guess
or at least try to interpret it as such, you know.
And there's four people writing songs and singing them, so naturally you're going to get a varied result.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely do want to talk about that in a minute. But I want to hit on a point first that you guys sort of brought up there, which is sort of the jazz influences. You know, I think when you talk about the sort of Americana genre, which kind of really has become sort of a catch-all in a lot of ways. I mean, it describes so much music, like you guys were saying, but not much of it does have a jazz influence. I mean, the only sort of subgenre that I can really think of off the top of my head that does is Western Swing. And you guys, you kind of get into that mood occasionally, but you're not really, you know, in that sector at all. But you still, you know, sort of incorporate the jazzy stuff into, you know, country influences and all that, and that's where it's similar. So, I guess...
It's his favorite thing to do. I'm going to get my coffee.
Whose favorite thing to do is what now?
You're talking about peeps out there.
Oh, okay. I'm just so confused, but that's okay. So I guess, you know, because you guys are so eclectic, I mean, you said you obviously grew up and you were listening to metal, but you obviously, you know, even when you were kids, listening to other stuff too. So what specifically for each of you, I guess, are your major influences today, would you think, you know?
Today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously before it may have been Slayer, right. But for the stuff that you're writing today... Like, when you think of, you know, bands that are kind of in the back of your head, you know, I know you said the Beatles, right. And you can definitely hear that on some of your stuff. I'm just wondering, you know, pick out, you know, one or two people that you feel have really sort of influenced what you're working on these days.
Well, I'd say James Taylor is probably the one that's coming to the forefront of all of our minds. I mean, we drive around in the van a lot together. And mm-hmm. We're on the way to and from gigs, whether we're on the road. And so we often hear the same music. There's not a whole lot of time when we spend listening to music alone, also away from one another. And James Taylor is one of the ones that is on a lot. The Beatles, Paul Simon.
The band. Is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of forged the Americana path, you know, by there's a lot of blending going on. Yeah.
Willie Nelson.
We really look up to the songwriters, guys who just wrote songs that were just simple songs, things like that. And you don't hear a lot of those forms these days in modern music, a lot of those traditional song forms. And so that's a big part of the way we feel. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like the songwriting aspect.
The songwriting aspect.
You know, and then we also listen to like Shango Reinhardt, Wes mm-hmm. Montgomery, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, you know, Duke Ellington, if I didn't already say it, Count Basie, and I mean, it's just the great American greats, you know, Louis Armstrong.
We need more than two.
It's so hard to pinpoint one or two.
Not a problem.
Really
no, I totally understand.
There's little things you take from each one.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, from Duke Ellington, you can take that he really knew how to play a band. That was his instrument. He could really, like, get a group of guys to make a sound, and you can really take something from that. It was a really plaintive style, but it was so complex at the same time.
Right.
And I don't know how well our music reflects that currently, but it's definitely something to aspire to.
Right.
To be able to compose even a fraction of the way that he can do it.
Right.
Using dissonance and harmony both to your advantage all the time. So, it's so hard to pinpoint just a couple.
Well, I totally understand that, because, I mean, I think the reason that I wanted to ask that is because, you know, for people who haven't heard you guys before, you know, you are sort of such an eclectic mix that it is impossible to pigeonhole you. You know, one song you may be something, one song you may be something else. And that's one of the things that I kind of find cool about you guys, you know, especially in the live shows. Because you can move from one genre to the other, and it's still you guys, and it still makes perfect sense, but you're just sort of sliding in. And, you know, I think there are very few bands that can do that. So, I guess that brings us to our next topic, which is why we are here tonight. Because, as I said, watching you guys live is always interesting, at least for me. And we're about to do that tonight. We are at the Winchester Music Hall in Lakewood, Ohio, for the celebration of the release of your third CD, second full album. And one of you call out the name. We're all of you at the same time.
The Blue Room!
There we go, The Blue Room. Which I think actually is an incredibly appropriate name for this album. Because I've been listening to it, about a week now since I've had it. And I feel like this is kind of a transition for you guys in a lot of ways. Because your earlier work definitely, to me at least, had a lot more sort of rock influences, a lot more up-tempo kind of stuff. This one sort of slides into the sort of jazzier feel. And so I think that the blue room kind of just gives you that mood. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, that's awesome. That's kind of what we're going for.
Okay.
We're just having the word blue in the title.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of puts a person in a certain mental space to be able to listen to it. And all the cover art involves a lot of blue and just white.
Right.
All that.
And who exactly did the cover art?
This guy. That was I.
Noah.
You see, you can't raise your hand for an audio interview.
See that, everybody at home?
Yes. Noah, you did do the cover, which I found interesting because... on your past two records, it was very simplistic covers.
That's right.
And on this one, it's really a sort of a more complex composition, which I think sort of feeds into this sort of, not really genre change, but mood change that you guys have. So, I guess, you know, tell us a little bit about this new album and what you guys... you know, feel that are the main themes of it and what you feel like you're trying to deliver to the audience with it.
Let me first off say to the listeners at home that Diesel is a very perceptive person because everything they just said was stuff that we talked about while we were putting this whole album together, while we were putting the cover art together.
Yeah.
All that
Diesel.
Stuff.
So that's
so
what we're going
to
say about
to make that
room.
Short, I am
you.
Fucking brilliant.
It's true.
And I really should just be doing this whole interview myself.
Right. You don't need us here.
Exactly. But since you are here,
he's actually
and I'm asking
us.
You questions for some
right.
reason.
We're here anyway.
Well. No, go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
But yeah, you're right. We were thinking about how simplistic the covers were before, and that was kind of a thing that we were trying to go for with the music as well. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of an austerity sort of thing. Although sometimes we went a little crazy, adding a whole lot of instruments to things in the studio. And this one, we really did. We wanted... It felt like sort of a quickening for us in a way. You know, we're all getting more comfortable with our roles as musicians. And just as artists in general, and we wanted the album to reflect that. We wanted it to feel like a step in a new direction, or at least further in the same direction. Anyone else got anything to add to that?
You want
to
do it?
I feel as though... Well, I hope that people can sense, too, that our relationship as a band is even stronger and more close-knit, because although the songs are all very different from one another, I think there are a lot of the same themes happening, which one is, you know, like, letting go, moving on. I think there's a lot of that kind of theme stuck in there, and we all wrote songs, you know. We don't really write songs together. We
mm-hmm.
kind of, like, hide away in our rooms, write the song, and then we bring it to the band. So I think it's funny that we're all, like, living life together, and we're writing these songs. Like, we're all going through the same things together. So I hope that shows itself in some way on this album as well, that just our relationship as a band has gotten... I mean, we're friends, we're family, we're close, and I hope that is seen on this album, or heard, rather.
It's, The blue room first is a room inside of the house that we all share. It's an important detail. And in that room, that's where a lot of the magic happens. I mean, after the gig tonight, that's the room we're all going to be sitting in, hanging out, and just kind of talking about how the night went. And that's the room where everything gets planned. And I personally wrote a lot of the tunes that I've contributed to all the records so far in that room. It's the lounge room. It's got the only... furniture really in our whole
that's
house,
because
right. our living room is the rehearsal space and the studio and all that, so that's the only spot where we actually can have like company sit down. it's a really comfortable room for us, and I think that sort of coincides with the idea of us being more comfortable with ourselves and as a band. And you know, our first record was put out in 2010, and at that point we had only been a band for about a year and a half, yeah, somewhere around there. And so we're still kind of getting used to the idea of being a band and doing this as a career, full-time, for life, you know? And now it's like committing yourself like a marriage or something, you know? So this album kind of represents that, being comfortable with ourselves, moving on from the past, and then stepping with an excited nature into the future.
It's a bunch of first-time things as well.
Yeah.
That it has my first contribution, and the blue room was my room growing up.
As a writer,
as a writer, but it's you know, the first time that we've done some co-writes, some a couple of those. you know, just helping each other. And, like I said, the Blue Room was my room growing up, so that's the place I lost my virginity, you know? So it's really...
So that's really what really the album is about.
Yeah. It's like form meets content for me, because, like, you know... It was the first...
I don't want to know about form meeting content. Just save that story for when the microphone's off.
But it does work, though, you know? Like, it's like I said, the first time I've contributed to the to a Womack disc, and I don't know, very proud and very happy that my family could do it with me, you know?
I gotcha.
So we're stoked, man. We're way excited about it.
Cool. So, Haley touched on an interesting point about your writing, because, you know, you said you guys are all so close, obviously, we're talking about this whole family concept and all that, and yet, that seems like an interesting process. Dig a little bit deeper into that. You know, how do you guys, you know, work the songs? You know, how much of it do each one of you write? Is it... you know, come up with the lyrics and maybe a melody and then come tweak it? Or is it, do you bring the fully formed idea and then say, you know, you're going to play this, you know? I mean, what's the feeling when you guys write a song?
Varies,
it's,
right?
There's no real rules.
Loose. There's no rules, really.
Like, for instance, the song Blue on this record, I had a melody and a chord progression. But what Tony did with the chord progression, you know, it brought it to life. Like, it's, I don't know, it's pretty loose. And we know our roles as players. So, I mean, if Tony is playing guitar, I don't play the bass. So Noah's obviously going to play the bass on Tony's song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just, it all kind of falls into place. But I think usually the songwriter has the melody and chord progression in mind.
Yeah.
And then they bring that to the table.
One person usually creates the basic skeletal structure of the song. So you see the shape and the form and all that. And then they bring it to everybody else just to sweeten it all up and maybe rearrange a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, the general idea is there when you bring it to the group. And then the group just adds their magic to it. And the better we know each other, the easier it is to just kind of know what each individual writer is looking for. And they usually do spearhead the whole arrangement, be like, oh, I'm wanting to feel kind of like this, or like to go like this. But... it's really loose beyond that. It's just like, as long as you're creating that feeling, do whatever you want within that box.
Okay.
And I do hope to collaborate more on the writing process itself.
Mm-hmm.
I think as we get more comfortable.
That's another exciting thing in the future, is when we actually do start putting these songs together
mm-hmm.
as a group. That's another area that we haven't really tried into that will yield some cool things, I think.
Okay.
We just started to do that towards the end of this record.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the last ones were like ones that we were all for, just like, all right, what's next? And it was like, we were actually like, you get a chance to have like your part basically and your input, but then like, sometimes you just want people to like, you want the songwriter or whoever has got the idea to cut that down and cut it away. And, like, lately, it just seems like there's times where I'm like, all right, this isn't doing it. My part's not doing it for me. I need help on my part on your song. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? To, like, bring it to life. And it's, like, really gotten a grasp on that, I think, and communicating with one another to, like, to really just get it to where it needs to be as a song. And then it's simple. You know what I mean? Like, once... Noah says, I need you to scale it back in the chorus and do like a march type thing. And you're like, okay. But then you ask him whether or not you're filling with a roll or, you know, like a flam tap or, you know, something like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's like cooking together.
I see. Okay, well, apparently you are the evil chef of the group.
I am.
Like, cooking.
Yes. Yes.
When you got that many ideas flying around,
yeah.
You know, like, it's overwhelming sometimes, because you got more than you need to work with. You're like, all right, so what spice goes with what? And figuring out, you know, what cocktails blend well, and it's a lot of fun.
Gotcha. Okay. So, since all four of you guys did contribute songs to this album. Just to give everybody sort of a taste, I'd like you all to sort of just pick out one that you wrote and just, you know, say a little bit about it. You know, what you were thinking, what the topic is, you know, maybe what the style of music is. Just so people, you know, if they are interested in hearing the album, kind of have a little preview. And why don't we start with Tony, just because last time you went last. So hopefully now you can interject something brilliant that you should have said at the beginning and then win. So go for it.
I'm going to pick another short because that was one that was around for a while. That one took me about a year to put together. Okay. It started off as a pretty simple chord progression, and the lyrics I just paced myself with. And that song is about a concept that came to me when we were just driving down the road, which was, you know, when you look out over the ocean and you can't see land on the other side, it tends to be kind of a lonely, overwhelming feeling, where it's, you know, as human beings, we really like solid ground. We really like to know that everything's safe, secure, and the ocean provides this vastness of danger, you know? And it's kind of like life in that sense, where sometimes you find yourself in a situation where it just does not feel like you've got stable footing. It does not feel like there's solid ground anywhere nearby. But then I thought to myself, well, you know, it just depends on your perspective, because there's still land underneath the water, you know, it continues on, and then you just can't see it, you know, and eventually that land comes back up, and you can see it again above sea level, and you're always
called Iceland,
your way.
Right?
That's called Iceland, right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's perfect, so, I mean, that's pretty much it for that tune, and that was one of the few, as a songwriter, they always say, start off with an idea, and the idea will speak for you. The lyrics tend to write themselves, and you'll know when they're the right ones and all that. But if you go into it with a loose idea, then you're going to be sitting there struggling for a while, and the song may not have, like, a clear plot, so to speak. And that was one of the first ones for me that just, like, came to me and just said, this is what this is about. Now it's up to you to convey that to people. And so it tends to be about just life and the space in between birth and death. That it's not really as crazy as everyone feels that it is sometimes, and that there is solid ground all the time.
Gotcha. It may just be 20,000 leagues under the sea.
It might be 20,000 leagues,
there, though.
But it's still there.
Okay.
It's just your perspective.
I gotcha.
I'm gonna talk about the track that actually comes after Another Shore on the album, and it's called A Silver Line of Peace. And I had music first going on in my head. I was listening to cats like David Byrne, and I was thinking, you know, this guy writes great songs, and you can dance them, and they're fun, and there's still a message there most of the time, and I wanted to try my hand at writing something that people could dance to. I mean, that was really the first purpose of that piece. I wanted to write something that was fun, and that, I mean, I love to dance, so I wanted to be able to do that. And, the music kind of just came out, and I had this phrasing in mind, kind of like a Paul Simon style, like very wordy, which is something I also have never done before, so I want to try my hand at that. And it came out being about seeking peace within yourself rather than searching for out here. Because, you know, in my opinion, I don't think you can really find peace out in the world. It's everything that you have and will ever have and ever need is in yourself. So that song is really about spiritual growth and finding that what you need is what you got already inside of you. So it's peace.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh. I'll talk about the last track on the album. It's called For Lisi. Lisi being my daughter, 6-year-old little girly girl. And it's the most stripped-down track on the whole album. And I think the reason for that is because I really wanted the message to get through. And it's kind of from a sort of like a Buddhist standpoint, the middle way sort of thing, because the main focus, the main tag of the song is, little darling, don't fly away, but don't keep your feet on the ground. So it's kind of a mixture of words of advice for her, and verses take the form of cautionary tales about people I've known that have either been stuck to the ground or flew too high. And it's the first of probably many songs that I'll write for that little girl,
but it definitely marked a first. It's a very personal song, and hopefully someday she'll be able to understand it, I guess, is the main thing. It's a jawbreaker of her song. It'll reveal its own nature to her as she grows.
Okay. And last but not least, the Crazy Drummer Boy.
Yeah, there's so many songs that I have on there that I have to choose from. I'll probably just pick number 6. I think it's number 6, right?
Something like that.
It is. It's just a little ukulele tune that Tony and I were jamming on. It's called Siren Song. He was doing this chord progression, and it sounded like a lot of fun, and then, I was learning to play the uke, so he kind of threw it at me, and then I was playing that, and he was just basically, like, jamming over top of it, doing what he does, like, finding, like, all these passageways on the guitar and such, and, like, I got this strange feeling that it was just, like, about the ocean, and that, like, the voices were supposed to sound like these horns or something, and I kept thinking of, like Coney Island hot dog kind of, like, thing.
Of course you were!
It was really weird, man. I mean, I do love hot dogs, and
well, who doesn't? I mean, hot dogs are the great American food, right?
That's America.
Yeah, well, yes,
that is,
yes.
Hot dogs are
They need
Americana.
Those black marks
yes.
on them or they're not
so
real
that
hot
was
dogs.
It. I just wanted, a song that was short, sweet, fun, and I got a verse, and then I was like, do I need another one? No. And then everybody just got, Tony got to play some horns, I don't know if Noah played some horns.
I played
or not.
A shaker.
He played in a baker. And Haley did some mouth trumpet.
Weird stuff.
Yeah, some mouth trumpet weird stuff, and it was...
You? Weird stuff?
It was
no,
fun.
Never.
That's all it was meant to be, so...
Gotcha. I hadn't pictured this until now, but just when you were discussing that, since we started this off with a series of swear words, I'm going to go back to the same swear word. Do you know Amanda fucking Palmer?
Amanda fucking Palmer? No, I don't.
Okay. Well, when this all gets done, I have to play her ukulele anthem for you. Because I could see you tearing that shit up on the uke on stage, man. Get out from behind those drums and go crazy.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, if it's good, man, and I can learn
it. Oh my god, it is amazing.
Then it'll give me another song.
For last year's Surfy Awards, I actually picked it as the number 2 song of the year last year. It is amazing. If you don't know it, Amanda Palmer is crazy, and that's what makes her beautiful.
Yeah.
And you're fucking crazy. Let's just face it.
Well,
I'm not gonna say that.
Our middle names are actually the same.
Okay. Well. I can see that. I can see that. Well, it's.
What
it's
was the first song? First best song of the year.
I believe that I chose.
A song by Noah.
No, you guys didn't have an album last year.
We did. It was an EP.
Did that? But didn't that come out in 2011? Or was it?
Dude,
we put out
so,
1 year
okay.
so far
okay.
since 2010.
So I guess it was technically.
The fuck, Diesel?
Well,
why wasn't I number one?
Okay, well, it was Be Your Bro by Those Darlings, so I guess they beat you out.
Hey,
that's fair.
It's always next year.
But we didn't review your album, I think because Tony never emailed me back, but we decided no.
I think we released it far before we met you, too.
It's,
we met you earlier this year, I think.
Maybe. Well, the first time I met you guys was like Chris Castle's release, so that was like
that was
the very
January.
Beginning.
January,
yeah.
And our album had been out.
So I probably hadn't even heard it, so there you go.
This time.
Which, I guess, actually brings me to the next thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about, because I think Tony kind of touched on it before. Which is, you guys are, you've got 2 full albums and an EP under your belt, but you are still really starting off as a band and really starting to commit now to doing this, as a career move. And I kind of feel bad sometimes, being a Cleveland blogger, and most of the time when I go out and I cover shows, I end up trashing the Cleveland bands because they're always the opener for the opener, and 90% of the time that's all these guys are gonna be. Sometimes you hit a good one, and most of the time it's just junk, which as a Clevelander, makes me feel bad. But you guys, you're a little bit far off to be called local. But Norwalk is still local enough for me. So it's good to see a group like you guys who, you know, when I see you play live, I know that if you're committed, you can make it. You know, I mean, maybe you're never going to be Mick Jagger, but who the hell wants to be either? Exactly, you're right. I mean, who even wants to live that long? Well, you might, but...
I don't want to be a mummy someday.
Yes, well, we'll not get into that. But I guess, you know, my point is more the style of music that you play. You know, it's never likely to be a top 40 hit kind of a thing. Which is one of the reasons why I like covering this kind of music, actually, because it's the kind of stuff that people don't hear unless they search it out, you know? And some people do have great success, and there's been a few bands lately who've sort of broken through that that line there, Mumford & Sons.
They still got the pop form, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, it's rootsy, but it's also just enough that...
It's
it doesn't
like
scare people away. Yeah, I don't know about punk, but
so it's like fast paced and
yeah, right.
The song structures
right.
And all that.
Well, and you know, in your last album, you had plenty of fast paced stuff. I
That's
mean, there's,
true.
There's
yeah.
nothing wrong with that.
No,
but,
it's fun.
I guess sort of what I'm getting at, basically, I want to hook in through a song that I believe you wrote, the name of which is escaping me because I'm really bad. With names, but
oh,
it was
song.
The bit about the taxes.
Far more.
That's it.
Number two. Also called
number
farmer
two.
Sometimes.
Farmer. Okay. When you've had a little bit too much drink on stage,
no.
You start.
When we haven't had enough.
Okay. So anyway, I just for people who haven't heard it, the basic premise is you sitting around mulling over the financial situation. That
it's
you're in and not having to pay taxes because you don't make enough to file, which is sort of the musician's life, I suppose, especially when you're starting out. But I guess that just sort of reminded me of what you were talking about, Tony, which is this, you know, this whole focusing on the career. So I guess what I really want to ask you guys is to just tell us a little bit about, you know, what this experience has been like for you. You know, as a bunch of friends, all living together, all getting into this lifestyle and sort of figuring things out.
I think your mom is here.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a good place for
her. Your cousin, maybe, or somebody else?
A friend who's going to be doing merch.
Okay, so that's, you know,
yep.
All about that?
Yep.
Okay. They're here.
Okay, thank you.
They say hello.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
We'll be out shortly.
Okay, so, as they said, no family is made up of just four people. And more of them are showing up for the show.
That's
so.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, but before you go out and say hi to them, so I guess, could you guys just tell me a little bit about your experience for people who, you know, are music fans, but haven't had that themselves? Just what's it like for you?
It's a lot of ups and downs, you know, and uncertainty because, you know, you're like an independent contractor. If you do, you know, roofing, for example... And you're not working for a company who's going to go and find the work for you. You've got to find work yourself. You've got to put your name out there. And that's sort of how it is for an indie band. And you find yourself in some really, you know, less than savory situations. You know, you could be shoved in a corner next to the pool table, and there's a big flat screen TV above you playing the football game while people are really more focused on chicken wings than music. Sometimes you're there. Other times you're in great situations, and you're on cloud nine. You're playing for a full room. And a great club, and there's great vibes. And this whole adventure has been that for us, you know, anywhere from small chicken wing joints to, you know, great stages and full rooms and a lot of love floating in that room for us. And it's been a crazy experience, and a lot of people don't really realize where the musician will end up, you know, weddings, bars, pubs, street corners, coffee houses. You never know where you're going to have to play your music and how that music's going to feel in that room. And so this experience for us has been kind of tumultuous, not only because of the mental stress that it can be, being in so many different places and different things required of you, and then there's also the financial situation like we just talked about too. And
it's also been very, very rewarding though. after playing a good show, and you know that you've just given people, I don't even know, joy, I guess. And it's just, like I said, it's very rewarding, and it's also, interpersonally, I think with any relationship, you have to be a friend. You can't, you know, you can't have friends without being a friend. You can't have a lover without being a lover. So I think it's been a lot of ups and downs for us interpersonally, but it's brought us closer as humans, and it's helped us to grow, you know, together and individually as humans.
Which I think is ironic, because you do have one non-human member of the group over here.
Yeah, right? Corey.
But he's almost just like one.
Okay, he's getting close. Maybe one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, man, I just...
I'm couth right now, but, you know, sometimes I get a little crazy.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
But, yeah, I think it's also been very rewarding, even through all the... hard times.
Yeah, I guess I was a little negative Nancy. I like don't bring in like, it's shitty. It's shitty, but it's also awesome too. I forgot that part.
I mean, it's hard sometimes, but everything worth doing is hard, right? Mm. You know, at some points in the journey. And, you know, part of committing to a musician is committing to being poor for 10 years or so, at least. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, we've been committed to the idea for a while. You know, since we started putting out original music, we've been very committed to the idea of being full-time musicians. It's just now starting to really sink in and feel like we are, you know?
Gotcha.
So, and Haley's right, it really has benefited, like, our souls. It's really taught us how to deal with each other and deal with other people a lot better. It's taught us a lot about life in a lot of different ways. So, and it's brought me closer to a lot of my family members, too, in weird ways. Like, extended family.
For sure.
It's definitely solidified a lot of relationships. And just traveling around, touring, just opens your eyes, you know? Like, it's easy if you're stuck in one spot to think the whole world's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get out of there and you go out and meet people, you realize that people really are good. Like, generally, people are good, they're trustworthy, and that really is, I think, the main mode of people. And touring and being a musician has really opened my eyes to that. I think all of our eyes to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's like science class when you have two liter bottles connected with the little thing in the middle.
The tornado thing?
Yeah, it's like a controlled tornado, man. It's always spinning, and like you can always flip it upside down. You can throw glitter in there. You can throw like little like Lego dudes in there so they get sucked down into the tornado. But like no matter what, it's always going to flip back over to the other side. It's always going to be good. We got it under control.
Except when you flip it back over, there's just another tornado, right?
Right, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's a good tornado. Though.
It's like it's like one of my favorite actresses, Helen Hunt,
the light
side,
the dark side.
That's right. It's a tornado.
It's a lot like Helen Hunt.
It's a lot like Helen
Hunt.
Loves
Helen Hunt.
Being a musician is a lot like Helen
Hunt.
It is.
If you can't see this, people, I'm blowing kisses to Helen Hunt.
Actually, you're blowing kisses to me, which kind of freaks me out.
Man. They're supposed to go past you, Diesel.
Yeah, well, then aim that way. You know, aim over towards Sticks.
I cannot aim
my
kisses
towards
Sticks. You
know, they kind of look like Helen Hunt.
The
second
one in,
that's
pretty
good. Yeah, I was about to say, the dude in the white shirt kind of looks like Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
And now Cody's taking a picture of the Sticks.
Make sure it's out of focus so it looks like Helen Hunt.
I like Sticks.
Yeah, Sticks is good.
Drumsticks.
Renegade, come on. Great
dude,
stuff. Great
it's
stuff.
Heavy.
I draw
it's
a lot
so
of inspiration
heavy.
From Sticks.
Okay. Da 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 da.
It's my jam.
So, where do you guys see yourself then as this tornado flips over and over and over going into the future? You know, what is the next couple of years look like for the Womack family?
More shows.
More shows.
More records.
And hopefully more bands.
That's it.
Which is weird for a band to want, but,
yeah.
You know, we're crazy like that.
Well, you know, you gotta think outside the box. That's the thing, you know? I mean,
I think most
of these guys, they get up there, they play some crap, and they make everybody hate them, and then they go home and they brood about how everybody hates them. And,
so we want people...
To trust us.
To trust us.
Trust
yeah,
us to give them a good time and good music.
We just want to give joy to people at the end of the day, I think,
right.
You know?
Right.
We want to let them have fun and forget about themselves for a minute so they can... Get up and dance or do
it's
whatever
like church.
They feel like they need to do.
It's a lot like church. Everyone gets in there and has an experience together. They all get on the same wave. And everyone
comes out feeling a little bit changed, you know, if it's a good night. And that's where we want to be.
Having good night after good night after good night,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, we want to be professionals. We want to be, you know, we want to be trusted by the people. We want to know that people know that if they come to the OMAX show, they're going to have a good time. That's not going to suck.
We build our own tours, too, so we're about to embark on one of those this October. After we do these CD release parties here in a couple weeks, we're hitting the road. And that's one thing, is I hope to be on the other side of the Mississippi, you know, here in the next few years, and just try to cover more ground in the States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always have our eye on you know, any of the European markets that we could, you know, English-speaking, of course. I have to brush up on my Spanish, my German.
Go to the Netherlands, man. Most of them speak English anyway. It's all
right.
Good.
And we fit right in there.
They love
the whole hippie culture.
Yeah, except you might have to learn about that marijuana thing that you know nothing about.
What is this? This is crazy.
I told you I'd explain that later.
Okay.
I know it's a big word.
It's later, PowerPoint
diesel. PowerPoint
presentation.
Well,
Mara.
Now it's starting to sound like a record skipping. But so I guess just to close up, I just want to ask you guys each to sort of say something that you think we maybe didn't touch on. You know, what's the one thing for each of you that you want people at home who might be interested in hearing your music, who may have, you know, read the review that I'm going to write of your album and thought that, wow, this Diesel guy is brilliant, and oh yeah, I guess this record may be interesting too, and then came here and listened to you. But what's the one thing you want them to know about the Womack Family Band that will really key them in to what you're all about?
Where you want to start?
Anywhere you want. We'll do it randomly this time.
Folks! That's it. We love you, and brush your teeth.
Okay.
We love you.
I did that today already, but
Noah?
I should do it before I go to bed.
That's what I was going to say. We really do love you.
You really were going to say brush
even
your teeth?
Even if, yeah. Like, we love
you.
You really should, because it's important for your overall health.
I should add flossing as
yes.
Well. Flossing is
it's
important.
Really important.
Brush
it.
No, but on a serious note, I'm sorry.
We also want them to remember the golden rule. It's important. Treat everyone how you want to be treated, folks at home. And that's why we love you. Because we want you to love us. And
okay.
Vice versa.
And we're not just a band. We like to put songs out there like they used to. But it's not about a sound. It's not like, hey, let's start a gypsy jazz trio, you know, and then, like, that's your career. It's like, we just want to make songs, you know. We don't want to be pigeonholed. It's not like we're deliberately avoiding, like, oh, we got to make sure that the songs are varied, you know. It's not like that. It's just, we really just want to write songs, you know. Like, you look into the Great American Songbook, you're going to see things like Prelude to a Kiss, you know, Solitude. And then you're also going to see, you know, songs off the Red-Headed Stranger. You're going to see Folsom Prison Blues. You're going to see, you know, Honky Tonkin', Lovesick Blues, you know, and then you're going to see Carolina in My Mind. You're going to see You Can Call Me Al. You're going to see all these songs, and we just want to add to that collection. And we don't want to do it as a you know, a world, you know, dance beat band. We don't want to do it as a metal band. We don't want to do it as a country band. We just want to play music. I think that's the main idea.
And I think at the end of the day, we truly just love music. Like, we are listeners of music. We just absolutely love listening to music. And I think our love as listeners goes into what we create.
Okay. Well, I have to say that as somebody who goes to your concerts rather than plays in them like you do, you definitely really get that feeling. And I think that's what's so interesting because, you know, as I said before, sitting there and listening to you live, it's obvious that you have broad-ranging tastes, and from one song to the other, you know, you're doing something different. But it really all seems like what you want to be doing, and it really does come out. And I got to tell everybody here, you know, since these guys are going on tour, no matter where you live, seriously, go see the Womack Family Band, because it's going to be one of the best shows that you see all year, without a doubt. Which means, I guess, we should be getting ready for one of the best shows I'm going to see all year,
right.
Because it's happening tonight. And once again, I want to thank you guys for joining us. It was really great, and I really do look forward to this. So, everybody, once
thank
again,
you,
Thank you.
Thank
this
you,
has
Cecil.
Been another edition.
Thanks, listeners.
Of thank them again.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank
you, listeners.
There you go.
Tell your friends about No Surf Music.
There you go. And this has been another edition of No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chat. I'm your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off.
Boom.
Bye, folks.
Later.
Bye.
This has been a No Surf Music, Burning River Fireside Chat. This is your host, Jason D. Diesel Hammond, signing off. Remember, No Surf Music is your source for the best in Americana, alt country, indie rock, and more. For original reviews and interviews, visit nosurfmusic.com.